Stephen A., the first time we had you come on and talk about Chip Kelly, I think you and I, you know, went at it pretty good. I do think that people kind of get the wrong idea about you and I, but we've known each other a while. But as this story's played out and Chip is out, and you had said, you know, during the season, I don't think he's back, so you're right about that. But I think a conversation that started about race ultimately seemed to become a conversation that wasn't just about race and Chip Kelly, but just that maybe he's really difficult, maybe even a jerk, just impossible to get along, and a bad GM. Do you think the conversation evolved in that, or are you still stronger on your initial points?
No, I think it evolved to that, and I never, just for the sake of the purposes of our discussion, I've never once had a problem with you or any other colleague who disagrees with me. That we're in this business. How the hell are we going to have a problem with each other just because we disagree? I never had an issue with you or anybody else for that matter. The only thing that took me aback is that people would come at me like I was saying such and such about Chip Kelly. I never met the man, and I said that. I didn't know the man, and I said that. What I said was what the players told me. And black players on the Philadelphia Eagles said they weren't comfortable with him because he didn't seem comfortable around them, and they felt that he really had a problem with who they were, where they were from, etc. They never, ever once called him a racist or anything like that, but that was their description of him. And from there, everybody took it and ran with it and said, well, you're implying this or you're implying that. And I'm saying, well, I'm not implying anything. This is what they said. And as the season progressed, we found out that a whole bunch of people had a problem with him, that not only what I reported they said was true, but there was more to Chip Kelly in a negative fashion than just those elements, regardless of what race, ethnicity, or whatever you were. If you were a player, to some degree, you had a problem with him. Whether it was his mannerisms, how he spoke to you, whether or not he elected to speak to you at all, what kind of a coach he was, his belief system, and how he tried to impose his will upon other folks. All of those things ended up being issues that not only was too much for the players to stomach, but clearly too much for members of his coaching staff to stomach, as well as eventually owner Jeffrey Lurie, who wouldn't even allow him to finish the last game of the season.
In the beginning, for me, you know, I had covered him a bunch out in college, and I just thought he was a great football mind. I got along with him, and maybe he got along with me because I was only dropping in once or twice a year, and I wasn't around the guy all the time. So, you know, I never played for him, so I can't speak to being one of those players. I think my issue in the beginning was when it was insinuated certain players, black players, being removed from the team and keeping Riley Cooper. You had said, Riley Cooper, is he your kind of guy? So I think you're saying you never insinuated it. I read it as insinuation in the beginning, so I'm not saying, like, hey, let's go back and forth over all of that stuff because we've kind of come to an agreement on how this thing's ended. But I guess that's where in the beginning I was kind of heated talking about it with you.
Well, you got to also remember, if you know, I am a black man, and Riley Cooper did rub black folks the wrong way for obvious reasons. But Riley Cooper, in my estimation, watching First Take, people saw me accept Riley Cooper's apology, not that he needed to apologize to me or every black person out there, but just as a black man, I said, you know, listen, he showed the appropriate level of contrition. He apologized. Let's move on. People make mistakes all the time. It was Skip Bayless who sat up there and said he should be thrown off the team. He should never be allowed back on because of blah, blah, blah. My point to you and everybody else was that wasn't the issue with the players in the end. What the players had a problem with is how nonchalant Chip Kelly appeared toward their sensibilities and how ultimately he sent Riley Cooper away supposedly to go through some therapy or whatever the case may be, and he was gone on a Friday and brought back on a Tuesday. So suddenly their ire, their disgust, their raised eyebrow, it transferred from Riley Cooper to that of Chip Kelly because Chip Kelly was the man in charge and Chip Kelly was the man who was so dismissive about it in their eyes. When you combine that with the fact that he then turned around, you know, DeSean Jackson was gone before then, LeSean McCoy and Jeremy Maclin was gone after them, and there were all these reports about how they weren't necessarily his kind of guy, then the players were saying, well, is Riley Cooper your kind of guy? So you're not accusing Chip Kelly of anything directly, but what you're saying is we have a right to sit there and say to you, Chip Kelly, who is your kind of guy? Because this is the National Football League. We all know there's a premium on talent. It's really about having the best players that you could find to perform what you as a coach want executed on a daily or weekly basis. So how can you sit there and just shove all of that aside and allude to those guys not being your kind of guy, but Riley Cooper is still on your squad? Yeah, it was just $22 million. Yes, it was just $8 million guaranteed. Yes, it was just a $4 million signing bonus. But in the end, Ryan, what it came down to was this guy is basically a receiver who blocks well for you. In no way does he compare to the guys that you let go. And chances are you're not going to succeed with them. And sure enough, he did it. So in the end, the kind of thing that happened in the end were the kind of questions that people had about Chip Kelly in the beginning and asking him, how in God's name can you imply that these other individuals aren't your kind of guy, but you would keep Riley Cooper on this squad, regardless of what reasons you and others may have for the black players who were insulted by Chip Kelly? They had those questions. That was what they articulated to me, and that was what I reported.
Stephen A., what's up, man? Peter Rosenberg.
How you doing, Peter?
Good, man. I totally understand where you're coming from. I felt the same way. I was very uncomfortable with keeping Riley Cooper, and I thought it was, frankly, just a big mistake for his entire time in Philly. Just, you could have found someone who did what Riley did. That being said, how does it make you feel that 2 weeks after completely underperforming and having a really disastrous season, Chip not only gets a high-profile job, but he's getting $6 million a year? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it disgusts me, and I use the word disgust, and I won't shy away from that. But it has nothing to do with his ability to coach on the football field. I agree with you, Ryan. The guy can coach. You win 10 games in two NFL seasons out of three. You certainly know something about what you're doing. You're 26-21 overall record. There are guys that have been employed in the NFL that were less successful than Chip Kelly. We understand that. So from a football perspective in terms of X's and O's, the bottom line is you got to give credit where credit is due and at least to recognize the man's football acumen is up there. The problem that I have is that you alienated players, you alienated members of your own coaching staff, you alienated ownership, you Sal Palantonio and everybody else covering the Eagles will tell you that he adopted a bunker's mentality and he hid in his office most of the time away from everybody else. I don't know that. That's what they told me. And in the end, so much so did you alienate folks that Jeffrey Lurie, a first-class owner in the NFL, said, I'm not even letting you coach the last game. I'm going to get rid of you. And inside of 3 weeks, you have a new job paying you $6 million a year. I ask a simple question. Who does that happen for? I can tell you right now, talk to Hugh Jackson, Mike Tomlin, Lovie Smith, you know, Marvin Lewis, even though Marvin Lewis has had a job for 12 years, he hasn't won a damn playoff game. I thought he should have been fired 3 years ago. In the end, they will tell you it only happens for certain kinds of coaches, and none of it is anyone who identifies with them. That's the reality. And at the end of the day, it's about fairness. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, and I'm going to get a little personal here. A lot of people will get on me, because they'll sit there and say that, you know, I brought up race. Guys, I have a white grandmother. She's deceased now. My grandmother was white. I have relatives who are white. I laugh when people sit up there and talk about me in terms of race baiting or anything like that. They know nothing about me. I'm the same guy that called for Marvin Lewis to be fired. I'm the same guy that called for Lovie Smith to be fired from Chicago because it was his time. I'm the same guy that brought up questions about Jim Caldwell. And I'm the same guys that will call out a player in a heartbeat if they ain't acting right, regardless of who they are. That has always been me. I am about fairness. And when you look at Chip Kelly, tell me what's fair about that, considering how much he's alienated folks, how many people he alienated, and how he can get fired. And inside of 3 weeks, he has an NFL job paying him $6 million a year. Who does that happen for? It certainly doesn't happen for a vast majority of coaches in the NFL, and I can assure you it damn sure doesn't happen for a black coach. That is the reality. And the sooner we're willing to embrace that and accept that, the better off we'll all be. Because it's just the truth. Let's just deal with truth and not worry about favorites.
I was only upset with you when you did that promotional video and you said nothing about me after watching me walk around says that I can ball. So, you know, since we're able to get over that, we're good.
Very tough.
I got you, buddy.
All right, thanks, Stephen A.
Thank you, guys.